All right, so welcome to the second episode of the TradeMate Sports podcast. I'm Marius, and with me I have...
Alex, it's a pleasure to be back, mate, and you are sure you had a great weekend.
I had an amazing weekend, and we will get back to that pretty soon, but first let's kick it off with this week's quiz, Alex.
Yes, mate, tough one again this week. The question is, Alex Ferguson's last game in charge, or better known as Fergie, last game in charge of Manchester United was the first ever EPL game to finish 5-all. Who was it against?
And the answer will be at the end of the quiz. Yes. I have no idea, so this will be interesting. I will need to think a bit about that one for myself.
I actually got it, but they gave me four options. Yeah, it's still a tough one, I think. But I thought a nice way to start us off this week was to recap our picks from last week, since I had a bit of a victory over you. Of course, a nice way to start. Probably my only victory in terms of the week. My pick for the week was Liverpool to win, and yours was an Arsenal Leicester draw. And we all know how that turned out. So Liverpool won 3-1 against Man City. And secondly, Arsenal got beaten 2-0 by Leicester. You put way too much faith in Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, I keep thinking that they're an all right team. But apparently I should just accept that they're terrible. Like I guess you've been saying all over the last episode. Maybe I do need to reconsider my stance on Arsenal. Mm-hmm. I also said before the season that I was quite convinced that they were going to make the top four with the transfer that they made. That doesn't look too good so far.
I mean, we'll get to prophecies later, but my prophecy kind of surrounds how they'll go this season. It is not looking good at all.
Starting with Arsenal?
We can start with Arsenal. We'll get the bad stuff out of the way. So
sounds good.
Did you watch the game?
No, I did not. We just got a bunch of new equipment for this week's episode. It's been fun, like figuring out how to keep all of this stuff this way together. No, I did not watch the game. Yeah, you watched the game?
Yes, mate. To be honest, it was one of our better performances this season. No, I'm not joking. We attacked, like, after the first half, we actually attacked quite well. And then we kind of just, as soon as they scored that goal, which was a tremendous goal, their first goal, Vardy scoring, we kind of reverted back to our couldn't produce anything. It was quite surprising. It was actually one of our better performances of the season. And that kind of speaks to how bad we are.
Yeah.
We lost 2-0 to Leicester, although they're a great team. Losing 2-0 to Leicester, and it was probably, you know, like top three best EPL performances this season. It's not looking good, mate, and I guess everyone at Arsenal, all Arsenal fans, are kind of updating their Twitter feed every hour or so.
Check if Emery's gone yet.
Exactly, mate. I mean, that was like what I did all week, and I was like, come on, it's got to be by now. And I guess everyone's slowly losing hope. You would think, I mean, we're recording this Monday at midday. You'd think maybe it would be done by now, but yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't really know of these things, but I guess
they shouldn't rush anything. It's like you said said last week, like, don't just fire him, you need to replace him too. So I mean, I guess they could get in like a temporary guy, but still it's better to like think through the decision a bit before you just do it.
I think like you'd hope that before now they were already out scouting people or thinking about potential replacements. Yeah, I mean, they've got 2 weeks now. It's the international break. You'd hope they can, you know, they can, I don't know, hopefully they'll come up with someone new. But I highly doubt. I mean, all the articles I'm reading from, like, you know, pretty respected websites and journalists, like, it doesn't sound like it's going to happen. It sounds like they're going to give him a lot more time, at least till Christmas.
Yeah.
Maybe even till the end of the season. But yeah, as an Arsenal fan now, I'm kind of, you know, I'm pretty basically given up on top four. I mean, there's still hope. And you're kind of just thinking the only way we're going to get into the top four is through Europa League.
Yeah, get into the Champions League that way. Yeah.
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 So,
because I don't think you can get into the top four by the...
No. No, I don't know if you saw the starting lineup we came out with. It was just they swapped Tierney and Kolasinac again, which it just makes no sense.
So Kolasinac was starting?
Yeah. Oh. So we went to a back three.
Why not like give one of them like the confidence and just let him play every week?
Yeah, well, about 2 weeks ago he made the swap. So yeah, I mean, basically we played with like two different sides, Europa League and Premier League, and he made the swap. So he made Tierney like our EPL left back and Kolasinac the Europa League / League Cup left back. And he made that swap, everyone's obviously happier with Tierney, and now that he's made that swap again. I don't know if I believe he just thinks Kolasinac's better suited to a back three formation, which is what he went with against Leicester, which doesn't really, still, this doesn't make any sense to me. Like, for me, Kolasinac is just this, like, brick who shaped like a brick. He looks like a block of cheese, and he just runs up and down the sideline as fast as he can, and then his end product is most of the time very poor.
Yeah.
Whereas Tierney can defend better than Kolasinac, and his crosses are, from what I mean, we've seen very little of him, but they're very good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he obviously made that change, which was bizarre. Went to a back three, which I didn't mind. I actually wanted us to go to a back three at the start of the season. It makes us look a little bit more stable. And then, I don't know what else. Didn't start Pepe, which wasn't really a surprise. He doesn't want
to start. I found it quite interesting that he started with Ozil, that he was given a shot in an important game for once. Because usually it seems like, you know, they always leave him out for the big games because he doesn't work hard enough. But this time he was in, so how was his game?
He wasn't too bad. I mean, you can't really say that any Arsenal player was good. I thought our standout performer was probably Callum Chambers, who played at centre-back on the right. But there's not really any standout in a game like that. He definitely wasn't our worst player. He was probably a little bit better than average.
Yeah.
Just because he can create.
Mm.
And, like, I mean, I've never really been a fan of Ozil, but the fact that he's, like, literally our only centre midfielder that can create, we need him in the team.
Yeah.
Because our creativity has just been so poor.
Missing an Aaron Ramsey to add some goals and stuff too, maybe?
I've seen a couple of crazy statistics about how we've performed since Ramsey's left.
Mm-hmm.
In like simple terms, I think he got injured maybe like 3 or 4 games before the end of last season.
Yeah.
And literally as soon as he got injured was when we went for that run of form where we lost like 3 or 4 EPL games in a row and missed out on the top four. So we're missing him dearly.
How's Ceballos been in terms of like addressing that creativity issue?
He's okay. He's very good on the ball. I see him as more of a centre midfielder. I don't see him as a creative attacking midfielder. But then if he's playing centre midfielder, he's not really great defensively. He's still young. Like I would like it if we kept him. Or we tried to buy him, but he's not the answer. From what I've seen so far, he's not the answer in terms of creating. He's not an assist maker like Ozil. Yeah. Like we need someone like Ozil, but that actually has a good work rate and performs consistently and doesn't just walk around the pitch like he does it sometimes.
So you just need like a £100 million midfielder. That's everything Monaco can do.
Yeah, I mean, like from watching the game yesterday, like De Bruyne would look like the most perfect fit for someone like Arsenal to replace Ozil. So yeah, mate, it's so he obviously doesn't want to play Ozil, Pepe, Lacazette and Aubameyang all in the same team. Yeah, I guess that was the only other selection thing that Arsenal fans saw. I'm like, oh my God, you know, he's not playing all four of them at the same time. It doesn't really surprise me because he's such a conservative manager. Yeah. And yeah, we got the expected results in the end.
Yeah, well, the Wardy goal was like pretty awesome though. So
both goals were very good. I mean, we could have done better probably in the second, but the Vardy goal was, I don't think anyone can really do anything about that.
Just a sensational attacking play.
Oh, really. Mate. I mean, me and my mate were messaging each other. We were like, that goal was Arsenal-like.
Yeah.
And that's
so kind of, the City have replaced Arsenal.
They probably have, mate. I mean, the way they, that goal was superb. But, it just shows how quickly you can go from, you know, playing that kind of football to what we have now.
Yeah, really hats off to Brendan Rodgers. As I've said, like, he's been both good and bad. So I'm still, like, on the fence with him overall, whether he is, like, a genuine top-class manager or whether he just happens to have very good players at Leicester. But the more I see from the way this team is playing, the more it's looking like Brendan Rodgers. I don't like this whole like fake versus real deal kind of terminology, but he is looking like starting to look like the real deal to me. So very impressive. And if you also look at the teams they face so far, they've not had an easy schedule. So the next like five games are super easy, which should be good for your fantasy team if you have Vardy or other Leicester City players in there. More on that later.
Have they played Liverpool yet?
Yes, and they lost, of course.
Oh, okay.
But it was like injury time penalty when Mane got fouled and Brendan Rodgers was whining about it in the media afterwards. But that was like, he got fouled, so it's a penalty. no problem about that. Yeah, so Liverpool, Manchester City, and what can I say? We are top of the league still. And
yeah.
Well, I read in the newspaper this morning that it was 8 points clear, but in my head it's 9 points clear because there's only one team that matters there.
Yeah, 100%.
So fantastic news that Liverpool managed to pull it off. I have to say Manchester City played extremely well and they dominated large parts of the game. But Liverpool were just so absolutely ruthless with the way they took their chances and just scored some fantastic goals. So big creds to the Liverpool team for pulling off that win, and for also, even though City got into like a lot of dangerous spaces, they only got that one goal, and there was some very, very good defending out there. Like Lovren had a block, which was totally amazing after like falling over like two times before, but still managed to get a foot on it. So everyone just delivered their best, and it was great to see.
Yeah, it was one of the only games that I've watched this year that wasn't an Arsenal game, and oh man, it was such good football, but at the same time, obviously depressing for me because I was like, it is incredible how far Arsenal, or you know, most teams, are away from these two teams.
Yeah.
Like the way they play football is like, not only do they play it well, but it's so entertaining. They don't stop attacking, playing out of the back with ease. Like the way they, some of your defenders pass the ball, and even some of the defensive midfielders like Fabinho, like the way they interchange their passes is just, it's incredible. I mean, these two teams, I haven't seen two teams play like that.
Yeah.
In Europe, like for a long time. Like you just think, like, are these two teams like arguably the best two teams in Europe?
I think they very much are. I mean, if you look to the Spanish league or the German league, Bayern Munich is not in number one. In Spain, like, both Real Madrid and Barcelona have lost a lot of games. So there's like, it's only Italy. We have Inter and Juve, who are pretty much like won every single game except I think Juve has one draw, and then Inter lost against Juve.
Yeah.
So that's like the difference there. So those teams are obviously like dominating their own leagues. But if you're not even able to dominate the teams in your own league, then how can you be like the best team in Europe despite having Messi on your team? So
Yeah, no, it was really interesting to just see how just some of like the players that maybe 3 or 4 years ago you'd look at in the Liverpool side and be like, you know, they're like just standard kind of players, like Wijnaldum, who's another example.
Jordan Henderson, never going to win anything with Jordan Henderson in the field, is a saying I've heard from many Liverpool fans over the years. But now they won the Champions League with him as captain, and they're going to win the league two this season with him as a captain. So big creds to Henderson. It is football is a team sport, and as a manager, your job is really to make the team be more than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
And Jurgen Klopp has just managed that to a whole new level with all of those players. But I also have to say, like, if Manchester City had Ederson in goal yesterday, then I think it would have been a draw, because the difference on the majority of the goals that Liverpool scored was just like Claudio Bravo being too short. So I think Ederson would have reached at least two of those goals, maybe all of them. So it just shows like how much of a difference like a good goalkeeper versus a world-class goalkeeper can be. It is deciding in games like these. And besides that, I'm very impressed with how City can just, they can put players into the team and the machinery is still running. Like, they got Angelino on the left back, They had Gundogan in midfield, like two players who wouldn't be like first choice if everyone was fit. Same like in center defense, like playing Fernandinho there. Obviously, he'd probably play in midfield, but maybe not this season with Rodri. But still, like you just put players in there, and still they were able to like dominate the Liverpool midfield, which dominate pretty much every other team. So very impressive.
I'm very excited to see Manchester City play Liverpool again when they've got Laporte, Edison.
Yeah.
Who else have they got out at the moment? Like left back? Have they got someone better than Andy Wenger?
Well, it's about getting Mendy injury free if that's possible.
David Silva's another one.
Yeah, but I'm not sure David Silva would like start this season because it seems like Bernardo Silva has pretty much like taken a spot in the team. So it's like him and De Bruyne along with Rodri in the midfield as the first choices.
I thought David Silva and Bernardo Silva could play. I didn't realize David Silva played on the right.
Well, they do mix it up a bit, yeah. So I guess they play some games with Bernardo Silva on the right and then David Silva in midfield. Yeah, they do. But when injuries happen, you need to have good backups, which they have. They have an amazing squad. Just wasn't enough in this game for City. But I'm sure that they'll come back strongly.
Yeah.
All right. So what got you fired up this week, Alex?
Well, surprise, surprise. It is all about Arsenal once again, getting me fired up. And I thought for this, I actually wrote down some statistics for this. I've come prepared.
Okay. That's good.
I just wanted to like highlight how bad Arsenal have been basically since the last month or two from last season. So in our last 10 EPL games, we've got 2 wins. This is a big club. This is the way you have to think about it. Like Arsenal's one of the biggest clubs in the world. 5 wins out of the last 17 EPL games. The last time we had a game where we won dominantly, so I mean by, at least 3 goals in the EPL was in February, beating Bournemouth 5-1. We lost the Europa League final 4-1. Our last 4 games, which were against Wolves, Leicester, Sheffield and Crystal Palace, we got 2 points. And I guess overall, like, it's getting worse. Like, even the games we're winning, like when we won our first few games of the season, we also beat Aston Villa 3-2. Like, we're not even playing well there. So I don't see how the Arsenal board or the managers, or the people that are in charge of sacking and, acquiring a new manager, I don't see what they can see, basically. I don't see how they can move on, how it is at the moment. I can understand if they can't find a new manager if they can't find someone like an Allegri or a Luis Enrique, like if they can't find him now, that's fair enough. But like surely they can start next season and find like, just give someone else a go, like Freddie Ljungberg. I'd be more than happy if he just came in now and finished the season off, similar to what they did with Solskjaer at United.
Yeah.
See how he goes. Maybe don't hire him if he's doing well, like United did last year. But they need to try something different for the rest of the season because the top four is, you could say it's basically gone already.
Yeah.
But we need, even if that's the case, we still have the Europa League and we need to do everything we can to be able to win that final if we can even make it there.
Yeah. Obviously I don't follow Arsenal as closely as you, but does it seem like Emery too often like matches his tactics to who he's playing rather than like focusing on their own game?
Yeah, it's kind of like what I was talking about last week. He's got like this small club mentality. I honestly think he would be an incredible manager at like a, a team battling relegation or like a mid-table team in the EPL. I think he would do a really good job because his tactics are so negative. And the problem is those negative tactics, when he's like applying them to a team like Liverpool, it works. Most of the time I'd say it's worked. Then when you're taking on teams, like when you're at home against like a Crystal Palace or a Wolves, like you need to have a second set of tactics.
Yeah.
Like that are your main set of tactics that that's like the structure of the team and that's just the normal way they play. And then you have this second set for when you play like a Liverpool or a Man City. And at the moment, I don't know, he's got like 10 different types of tactics.
I think overall, these teams play a lot of games.
Yeah.
I mean, Klopp talks about it all the time. Like, there's not too much time to do that much training in between the games because the players need to recover and they need to do, like, obviously they do some preparation for every game, but, like, it is really the preseason where you get to, like, shape how your team is playing. So it's kind of like if you have one team which every single week tries to play the same pattern, then of course they're going to be better at playing that way than a team which is changing it up every single game. So that seems to me like if you're not, it's kind of, at least if you are in the middle, if you're not in the danger of getting relegated, or let me just say it this way, if you want to be a top team, you need to focus on your own game and not care too much about the opposition. And maybe if you face like Liverpool, Manchester City, then you adapt. But those are the only two teams you should adapt to in the league. The rest you should just play your own game and be better.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Yeah. I mean, and some of the problem is that we have the Europa League games during the week where we play a completely different side. Mm-hmm. So there's, I mean, maybe there's like another block too where we're not getting the continuity that, you know, a team like Liverpool gets where they play the same team basically every game other than the League Cup games.
Yeah.
So there's another reason. Oh, well, it's good to, you know, be able to give your youngsters a go. That could be another reason why it's failing a lot, is because there's, you know, there's just different tactics every game. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. All right, I guess we need to speed things up a bit. We don't have that much time this week. So we're just going to go quickly through the next couple of things. What got me fired up this week is the British commentators and like the guys in the Sky Sports studio going on about, oh, it was a handball on Alexander Arnold when it was, and the entire focus was on, that's a handball. And yeah, it was a handball, but it came off Bernardo Silva's hand to hit Alexander Arnold's hand, and with the new hands rules, any ball that touches the hand of an offensive player is a handball that he gains an advantage from. So, like, that's end of story. Like, there's nothing else to discuss. It's not worth discussing. So that
are you talking play. About the first or the second?
The first.
The first one.
Yeah, because the second one is like he shoots it up in
him. Yeah, the second one wasn't.
So it's the first one, clear handball, but it comes off Bernardo Silva's handball, so it's handball on City first. So, yeah.
Yeah, they really go on about it too.
Mm.
I mean, that's their job, isn't it? To create, you know, this like big storyline and create drama and stuff like that. But they do go on with a lot. Did you see Pep Guardiola thanking the referee?
Yes.
Mate,
that was insane. Like, I hope he watches those replays and, like, I get managers being upset because you want to win so badly, but, like, seriously, you can't seriously mean that. You should have had two penalties there because you shouldn't, based on what happened. Like, I totally get it if you didn't see, like, the Bernardo Silva thing live. That would piss me off too. But, like, the second one, it's kind of like everyone knows it's not going to be a penalty.
Yep. So now we'll move on, mate, to our fearless predictions from the weekend. And mine is Arsenal will not make the top six if they stick with Emery for the rest of the season. I don't really have to do much explaining or anything about this. I don't think, like, we've already talked a lot about it.
Yeah.
But just look at our last four games. We've got 2 points against four sides that Leicester are good. The other three sides, a big club like Arsenal, we should be getting 9 points from them. And it's getting worse. Every game we're playing, we're getting worse, basically. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think this is like a big fearless prediction. I just... There's no, if they stick with Emery for the rest of the season, I cannot see them making the top six.
Yeah. So my prediction is that the top four will remain the top four. Before the season, my prediction for the top four was Liverpool, Manchester City, Tottenham and Arsenal in that order.
Yeah.
And I got totally wrong on Tottenham and it seems like also with Arsenal. But the teams which are currently in the top four have just been playing so well. And like, even if they go through tough periods like for during the rest of the season, they have such a big gap now and they've been looking so fantastic so far, while Arsenal, Tottenham and Manchester United all look like they still haven't figured out how they're going to win games. And I think by the time they do, it will be an even bigger gap. So,
yeah, the only team I see potentially dropping out would be Chelsea, just because they've got such a young squad who have never played this kind of schedule before, and it looks like they're going to get through to the finals, the knockout stage of the Champions League. So, yeah, that's their kind of... It'll be interesting to see how they go through December, January, February.
Yeah.
That'll be their, like, their big moment to see how they go.
All right. You're rolling bets.
Yes, I'm going a bit left field this week as the international break is on, which means basically no football or no enjoyable football to watch. So I've got a UFC. I don't know if you've ever watched any UFC in your life, mate.
A couple of games.
Fights,
yeah. But it's been a while.
Yeah. So I'm actually an avid watcher of the UFC. So I thought I would give you guys something to maybe have a bet on this week. The main event is Jacare Souza versus Jan Błachowicz, and I'm not going to go into how I feel, like the breakdown of the fight or anything like that, because you guys will probably get bored. But Jacare Souza is at $2.75 on, that was on Bet365 and a couple of other bookies. So I didn't do too much research to see if you could get better odds than that. But $2.75 was the best I saw. And I think that's a really good bet to have a little bet on.
All right. Cool. All right, how about this? How about you give me the four alternatives to the quiz answer, and we'll see if I'm able to get it right.
I'll make some up for you, because I cannot remember all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got to think of a good order to say them.
Just say the correct answer first.
All right, so you've got West Ham, Watford, Arsenal, and West Brom.
I'm going to go with West Ham.
No, it's West Brom.
Really?
Yeah.
That surprised me.
So 5-5, Fergie in his last game drew 5-5 with West Brom.
It was a Premier League game too?
Yeah, it's a Premier League game.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, I think Liverpool lost, what was it, 6-0 against Stoke?
Yeah.
So maybe it was 6-1. But really, Fergie drawing, like, 5-5 against West Brom, that's insane.
Yeah, and it's the first time there's ever been 5-5 game in the Premier League, so...
Mm.
It's pretty cool. That was his last ever game.
Yeah, special way to go out.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for watching. If you like this videos and podcast that we make, then please follow our podcast or subscribe to our YouTube channel and give us a thumbs up if you enjoyed the show. See you next week.
See you guys.